Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally L. Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, I have the most important man in New York State on the phone with me. His name is New York Assemblyman David DiPietro. He has sponsored a bill, number A8676, write that down, A8676, to restore religious exemptions to attend school. So this couldn't be more immense, and thank you ever so much, Assemblyman DiPietro. Oh, I have to pick him up. Hi there, Assemblyman DiPietro. Thank you very much for sponsoring Bill A8676.
My pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Yeah. Why in the whole wide world did you decide to do this? I mean, I can't believe you got right on it. You know, you didn't wait. You immediately jumped and did something about it. What caused you to respond as we had prayed someone would?
Well, that was being a religious person myself and watching the corruption in Albany, which drips off the walls, and I tell people that every day. And I saw the way they were ramming this religious exemption, their bill through, to stop all religious exemptions. It was horrendous. And so I got so upset, and I just immediately started writing the bill to counteract that, because they passed it literally in the dead of night, the last day in Albany. And then the very next day when we're out of session, lo and behold, the big company, Merck, the drug company, pours over $140 million into New York State. And that was totally set up. It has been worked on for months. And they devised this plan, and it was just it's so corrupt. That just flew me. And now I've got a bill, and I'm going around the state just hammering this and telling people enough is enough. This is 1941, 1938 Germany. Okay, you're taking all our rights away, and especially at my end of the state, we don't like it, and we're not going to stand for it.
Well, thank goodness you did, and that you were as outraged as you should be. That's the whole thing. Everybody should be. I'm dumbstruck to talk to parents until your bill. You know, I literally, as an educator and someone who really, really wants to see children live, I literally didn't know what to say to people. I saw these beautiful children thinking, oh my gosh, they're all going to go down. The value of the property, by the way, in New York, likewise, will go down. I mean, for everyone who cares about money, let's say everyone only thinks about money. Well, think about the value of your property.
That's correct, 100%. There's so many people that are moving out now. Combine that with the people who don't want to move here. Okay, and that's I'm at Western New York by Niagara Falls, and we've watched this decline for 30, 40 years. So we know it, and we understand it, and we hate it. And I tell people, this area of the state and the rest of the state is no longer buying what New York City is selling, because it's changed so much. So you're right. The property values here, there are no property values here. People can't get what they want for their homes. It's not like maybe down there or somewhere else. There's just no economy up here to support it.
And if you don't mind my asking, why did that happen? Why is there no economy there to support it? I mean, I was in
Buffalo
not too many years ago, and there was no work. Beautiful homes closed up, boarded up.
Yeah, it's because New York State has overtaxed us to a point where people can't. When you're paying $15,000 a year for taxes on a 2,000-square-foot home, 1,500-square-foot home, there's just no economy. There's no job that can support that. Okay, and they keep going up. They don't come down. And New York State is swirling down the drain right now. There's no going. There's no bringing this economy up anymore. It's the all the provisions that the left has put through in Albany are taking a hold. There is no upswing from it. It's only going to continue to go down because none of these policies create jobs, help the public, help the people. Yet they all sit there and tout, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. This is great. We need this. We need this to move in New York State. And every time they say that, it goes the other way because they have no clue about how to create a job. They have no clue on how to get out of people's lives and let them live it the way they want to.
Well, I traveled across New York State at one point. I was running for governor. I've run for public office endlessly, okay? One way to create a new party would be to run for governor and have other people do the same. Regardless, I had to go all over the state and get signatures. And what I found were two things, unemployment and diabetes. Everybody I talked to, unemployment was a very huge part in their lives, and diabetes. And guess what diabetes is a result of? Vaccination. That's what it's a result of.
You're right. You are correct. But
so
the unemployment
just
status,
yeah.
if you get the unemployment, if you look at the rest of the state, because New York City is in its own bubble. And New York City people just don't understand it. When I'm in Albany, they do not understand what I'm talking about. They don't understand that the rest of this state literally dislikes them with a passion, not personally, but everything they represent. They control everything in the legislature and in the Senate. Okay, where I'm from, there's 150 elected representatives. Okay, around the state, there's 150 of us, but there's only 43 Republicans. So whether you like that or not, the fact is we're in the super minority. But I say that because out of the 107 Democrats, 82 are from New York City. So if 75 plus 1 is half, 82. Everything has to pass in New York State. Everything has to go through New York City. So every dollar that's spent has to be okayed by New York City people. So the rest of the state
gets
crumbs.
I did not realize that.
Yes, we get crumbs. We are New York City people. I'm on the floor. They don't like the rest of the state. And they tell us, the New York City people I'm friends with, they say, we welfare you money. We welfare to you. That's their term, okay? Because
wow.
The money that comes out of the corporations and stuff from New York City that they have to share with the rest of the state, they don't want to. They want all that money because that's theirs. They're the city. They're the Big Apple. And so they say they welfare us. And that's why one of my bills, which I don't know if you knew about, I put in last year also, is to separate New York State into three autonomous regions so that New York City can actually keep all that money they give us. But then in return, we get our own autonomy because the people in the rest of the state don't have the same mindset. Whether it's right or wrong doesn't matter. The fact is we don't align together, and we want to be on our own. And this vaccine issue.
You get your own autonomy is what you said. Is that right, autonomy?
That's exactly right. We have our own governor.
Okay, thank you. I thought you said economy, and I thought I don't think – yeah, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Autonomy. Sorry, autonomy.
Yes, yes.
We create our own laws. We have our own governor, but we do remain a state. Okay, this isn't a federal issue. We do remain one state, and we meet for a couple weeks every year to talk about state issues that mandate through a whole state. But other than that, we'd be autonomous because this vaccine issue is front and center. There's no flavor for that in the rest of the state. That is driven by a few New York City people who have their hand in the cookie jar with Merck and some other drug companies. And trust me, this has been going on a lot longer than 30 days before we took that vote. They've been maneuvering this with a lot of big money, okay? And that's what they got. And they finally maneuvered it to force it down our throats to making thousands of parents move out of this state even more then we're moving out. They've just added to the swell of people moving out of here.
Well, the health department didn't, I mean, within 10 days, was it? The health department decreed that they were limiting medical exemptions, which are already impossible to get. They have actually reduced the scope of what, and I want the people who are listening to know what they've reduced it to and how contrived it is. The first one is anaphylaxis, which means you can die on school property. If you go into anaphylactic shock and you do not have an EpiPen, you can die right there. So they don't want you dying on school property. Number two, if you're going through chemotherapy currently, if you're currently spending an immense amount of money on chemotherapy, you can get out of vaccination. Or, as a friend of mine got a liver or some transplant of some organ, I think it was liver, it could have been kidney, I'm not sure, but it was donated, it must have been kidney, it was donated by her niece, and so it was free, but it was $1 million to put it into her. So I'm just saying, mm-hmm. if you are spending money hand over fist on the medical industry, or if you're going to die on school property, that's it. All the other reactions to vaccines beyond anaphylaxis don't matter, and they don't care how much. In fact, I want you to hear this. A friend of mine has an autistic child, and when they removed exemptions, he may be autistic. He may not be a great communicator, but listen to what he had to say. Mommy, why are they trying to kill me?
Well, and I agree, and a friend of mine right here in East Aurora, right outside here, called me 10 days ago, a guy who lives near me. His son, is like 9 or 10 years old right now, was affected by vaccines when he was young, very young. So now he's been compromised. So this year, just at the beginning of this school year now, his son's in public school here. And the doctor, his family doctor said, he has to be vaccinated. The school kicked him out. And he said, well, you know, I need a medical exemption. You've been giving me a medical exemption every year. You know, my child has been compromised by these vaccines. If I give him more vaccines, he can die. And the doctor told him there's nothing I can do about it. This is the family doctor who has been treating this kid since he was born, knows about the vaccines, knows the problem that it could kill him, and the doctor now is refusing to give the medical exemption because they're getting so much pressure from the state health department, and the state health department is trying to back out of it and say, we're not doing anything. This is so corrupt right now, so corrupt, so bad.
Well,
I mean, you're watching the corruption drip off the walls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is crazy.
Let us talk about the enforcement of this. If your child didn't give 14 days notice that they were not going to be attending school, this is what I've heard. CPS shows up at your door. So this is the enforcement arm. What does CPS show up and do? Do they remove your child? I know that 80%, check this out, 80% of children in foster care are there for medical neglect. What would that be comprised of? Refusing vaccination? Refusing chemotherapy? Is that what medical neglect is? That's why 80% of children in foster care are there.
Correct.
And where are the children disappearing from? Foster care. That's where they're disappearing from.
Wow, and that's... And let me also reiterate, there's a school here outside, right outside about 10 miles from me, where I actually went to kindergarten. And I was just told the other day that state health department, it's called the Waldorf School. I was told the state health department went in there a couple weeks ago, walked in and called the parents of all the kids who were not fully vaccinated and had them kicked out of school. I mean, that's crazy stuff. So this is where we're at, where, yes, they are going to enforce it by physically coming in and kicking kids out of school that aren't fully vaccinated. And it's so crazy, but it's true. And that's where we're going to fight this, and we're hopefully going to put enough pressure on some of these elected officials from, and it's from downstate. It's from your area. It's from New York, New York City, okay, because they control everything, and they're the ones that put this through, okay? So And as political, our kids are not political. And that's what I tell people. And this is not an anti-vax. Some of these legislators, oh, you're just anti-vax. My daughter's fully immunized. But this is parental choice.
I'm sorry.
This is about the parents being able to say, I will choose what my daughter and my son gets. The state is not going to mandate what I inject into my arm. And I was the leader on the floor against the full-term abortion bill, abortion at birth. I have been for 7 years the leader against that. And all I've heard for 7 years, because I'm a right-to-life person, is my body, my choice. My body, my choice, right in my face. And now all of a sudden, it's not my body, my choice. It's the government's body, and they'll tell you exactly what to put into it. The hypocrisy drips off the walls up there. From the same people, my body, my choice, now they're the loudest screamers that everyone has to be vaccinated no matter what.
Boy, do we have a lot to talk about. I'll tell you a bill that I would love to see proposed, and I didn't realize you were the man who led the opposition to late-term abortion, and I thank you. But since it did pass, my dream is for all of these young girls who have had early ovarian failure thanks to the Gardasil vaccine, as admitted to by the American College of Pediatricians, that those sterile girls now could have, without red tape, without expense, first dibs on all those children who are being aborted as they're being born.
We could do that. Again, in New York State, with the way it's controlled by, and I tell people too.
Why would they object to someone who cannot have a child who wants one getting the child of someone who obviously does not? And I'll tell you something that's very concerning to me as well. As people are having babies, they scream everything they don't actually mean, you know? And perhaps it could be misread to believe that this mother doesn't want the child, when in fact she does. She's just experiencing outrageous pain. So she's screaming things that she doesn't mean. Will the doctor then assume that she wants the child aborted? That's a concern of mine.
And the doctor has to perform that. If the lady is on giving birth, I debated this. We don't know. The doctors wanted to know. When is it that I am legally liable? Is it when the baby is in the birth canal? Is it when we see the crown? When the baby is half out? When is it? And when I debated Deborah Glick on the floor, she won't answer any of those questions because I know the bill better than she does. I know her own bill better than she does. I've talked to all the doctors. I've talked to the legal. She won't answer those because the fact is, in the full-term abortion bill that we just passed, as long as that baby is out on the table, attached to the umbilical cord, perfectly healthy, he can be killed and she can be killed. Okay? It has nothing to do with in the womb. It's the baby is outside the womb, still attached, it can be killed. Just like they said in Virginia, we'll let it stay there and we'll keep it comfortable. That's exactly what we do in New York State now. That's exactly what it is. The baby is given live birth and it's fully healthy, 8-pound baby, boy or girl, and you can kill it after it's born.
Then we have to do this. We have to have a list of women, you know, who want children, who cannot have them thanks to the vaccines, polysorbate 80 in particular, and but everything is poison regardless. Nonetheless, we have to have facilitate without red tape and without huge amounts of money. Everybody I know who's adopted a child has gone outside the United States to adopt children when there are so many children who need to be adopted here. You know, and it's because of the red tape and because of the expense. So if we can eliminate those two things, say this woman is about to have a baby she doesn't want, and here is a line of 60,000 young sterile women who would love that child. We've got to facilitate this. You're the man to do it. I cannot believe I'm talking to the guy who can, who might, who could.
You know what? We will talk after this, and we'll start putting something together. I'd be glad to.
Oh, my God.
And you,
what a blessing.
And, you know, I want
oh,
to tell you
blessing.
Something. From the years that I've been fighting and leading the state in the right to life fight for the unborn, you know and I know, and your listeners know, that about 80% up to have, after an abortion, later on in life, have serious regrets, have serious thoughts about it. They think about the birthdays. They think about it, and it really eats them up. It's an emotional trauma that they have. But I cannot tell you, and maybe I'm sure there are some out there, but I've never talked to anyone who's been raped, incest, who's had the child, who comes back and says, I wish I would have aborted it. I wish I would have gotten rid of it. And I haven't heard that. Because once that child is born, it's a life, and they love that kid, just, and it's their own child, and everything changes. Everything changes. But most women who have abortions, go ahead.
No, let me back you up on that. When I was pregnant and ready to have a child, I remember a boss saying to me, well, do you think you can come back to work in 4 months? Do you think you could, you know? I said, oh, sure, of course, yes, yes, yes. And the minute the child was born, I was like, I'm not going anywhere. This is outrageously fabulous. You know what I mean? So you
exactly,
don't know when
yes.
the child is in you. You don't have the rapport. You don't fall in love with someone who you haven't yet met, you know, even though it's within you and part of your body. And here I was making plans to go back to work and eager to do it. And the minute the child was born, my God, my whole life changed. Never have I been so in love, nor will I ever
be again.
I've
heard that too. You are so correct. And that's what they don't get. And that's disturbing, because they're willing to kill a baby for their own pleasure, not their pleasure, but for their own thought process, their own mantra, whatever you want to call it, and without the experience. And that just fries me. That really aggravates me when I listen to some of the reasoning, you know, my body, my choice. I've heard it all. But you talk to people who have kids, it's a different story. Now, you know, so I'm not, I just, that's just the way I'm built. Okay, because I can tell you when I was younger, well, when I was in my teens or 20s, I was a pro-choice person. I had no clue because I had no clue. I just, oh, well, whatever. You can do whatever you want. But as you get older and you see life, how it unfolds, things change. And I watch this. And now I go to Albany, and I watch the corruption. And I watch the thought process of these people. And I know the people that would sell their mother for $5. And it's pretty disgusting.
It sure is. What went down in that health committee is pretty disgusting too, right?
Well, you did see.
We had a tie.
Yes.
We had a tie. There, yeah. And
I was just
going to
mention
that.
I was just going to mention it.
Go ahead. You.
But
you
go ahead.
That,
oh, well, I was there. I was there. We had a tie, 13-13. So I used to be on the health committee. I wasn't this year, but I was there. They had a tie 13-13. The place was packed. So any tie in any committee, it automatically is defeated, whatever bill. This case, immediately when they called the tie, and you can watch this on the internet. It's live. You can watch the whole thing as I'm talking. Saeej, S-A-Y-E-G-H, Assemblyman Saeej, gets called over by Speaker Heasty, who's about 10 feet away, sitting there. He gets called over, motioned over. He goes over. The speaker whispers in his ear, and Saeej, Assemblyman Saeej, immediately walks back to his seat and says, I'd like to change my vote. That's pretty bad, and that's how we got this. It was dead in committee at 13-13, and then someone, Saeej, got a little pressure and caved. And that's what they do over in Albany. That's how it works with the Democrat Party. And I tell people, it's not your Democrat Party. If you were JFK, if you were a Democrat from 10 years ago, the new Democrat Party is all AOC. So, and if you like AOC, God bless you. Okay? I love having those debates. I'm rated the number one conservative in New York State. So I love debating people. I'm the far right. They're the far left. Let's have it. Let's have a great debate. But understand that New York State is now run by AOC. The assembly is run by AOC. Okay? She is actually.
And to the listener, talking about a congresswoman who is a socialist.
Yes. Yes. And that's what we have in New York State. We have blatant socialism right now. Blatant. I'm not mincing words here. And I'm not, and I'll back it up. I can show you everything we passed, the 900 bills we passed this year that point to the state. And it's not just this year, it's been happening. But it's really in the last few years that I've been there, last three, I'd say, it has really taken a hard left slide. And now you're seeing it with all these bills against vaccinations, forced vaccinations, okay, internment. If you're deemed a threat, you can be arrested and interned for 72 hours. Come on, really? If you're deemed a threat, again, guilty until proven innocent. That's not the way we do it in this country, but that's what we're doing here. This is people need to understand they are about to go into a very dark place in this state with personal rights, with your freedoms. It is the least free state and has been for years, but we are spiraling down faster than people even can imagine.
I would like to bring up something in regard to the vaccination without parental knowledge or consent. Because
Correct. In
terms of STD vaccines, there are so many in the pipeline. The Gardasil was a series of three. Hep B, I have known to be a single or a series of three. There are many STD vaccines in development and ready to come out the minute that bill passes, I assure you.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, your kids are going to school, you think, to get an education. If that passes, at every turn, they're going to be harassed to accept a vaccination. And there are endless vaccinations that are coming out for STDs. Is there each one going to be a series of three or 12 or 17? Who knows? You know, these series of vaccines are even better, you know? So the whole thing is if your child dies. Now, it's secrecy, right? The whole thing is the family can't know because it's a woman's or a child's right to choose when it comes to vaccines for STDs in particular. So can they not tell you your child was given one if your child dies? And many do from the Gardasil vaccine in particular. So will you just be left wondering?
Yeah, well, that opens up a whole can of worms. And as you know, when we were kids, when I was a kid, we had 8, 9 vaccines, you know, the measles, mumps, diphtheria, a number of them. But as we've gotten older, and especially now it's up, now your child is mandated at 48 vaccines. Next year, just so you know, which they're talking about, next year they want to go to 72 vaccines. And in 2 years, Pfizer, Merck, the CDC, in New York State are talking over 100 vaccines, which will be mandated. And now, as you know, Gardasil is sexually transmitted. Okay, the HPV and the Gardasil vaccine, HPV is sexually transmitted. So why are you mandating, and for boys also, Gardasil at age 9 to 10? What it mandatory? And knowing this has not really been studied. That's known fact. It hasn't been studied up to the 16-year-olds. The study that they did, and which was very minor, but the study they did was between 16, 17-year-olds and 28-year-olds. So they don't have the results on young children. But now but in their infinite wisdom, we need to vaccinate 9 and 10 and 11-year-old kids for a sexually transmitted disease and without parental consent with a vaccine that has been proven to kill? This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. But you got to remember, when you go, this is what they want. This is not stopping here. That's what I try to imply to people, implore them to look at Argentina. Everything you do, if you want a driver's license, they check your health records. You have to be fully vaccinated. people die there a lot. Okay, these vaccines are not safe. The Gardasil's been outlawed in, I think, 7 or 8 countries. It's outlawed. It's outlawed, Gardasil. But yet we want to mandate it in the United States. It's getting crazy, and that's what they want. They want full – this is huge money for these drug companies, huge, billions of dollars. So I tell people we need everybody to get together, because if you think they're going to let some little guy like me stop this, okay, we got to really think twice about that.
Well, I'm trying to get absolutely everybody to run for the vaccine-free party at every level of government. I'm mm-hmm. saying vaccine-free because this is a genocide. This is about a lot more than money here. This is a kill switch. And you can't find more disgusting ingredients than you will find. I mean, eye of newt is an improvement on some of the ingredients in vaccines. And you know, kids are dying. It's not being reported. 15% of our infants are dying. Who reports that? 1 in 10 are rushed to the emergency room after receiving Gardasil. That's 10%. We've got 75% mm-hmm. of the pregnant women getting the recommended 4 doses. And this is not published anywhere, but this a friend of mine interviewed a nurse who was in a nursing program, and she was required to get the 4 doses along with 3 other of the nurses in this educational program. They did, and 3 of the 4 miscarried. So there you go, 75%. They don't
That's
report
right.
this, so well, you just have to take it where you can find it. 3 of the 4 miscarried.
Right. Well, if you know, Gardasil has approximately a 34, I have to look on the CDC, but the 35% sterilization. So
oh
really, you're going to sterilize a third of your women that take it. That's a fact. That's out there. That's a known fact. It's got a sterilization rate of about 35%. And of the 100-some strains of HPV, Gardasil works on 4 or 5. It's not the cure-all to that. Your body, your miraculous God-given body, will form immunization on its own and fight off 96% to 98%. You could get it, and it will fight it off. So, you know, and I don't get me wrong, that the people who get this is a horrible disease. My sister just died from it. So please, don't mistake me. I'm not but there are things you can do besides Gardasil, okay? And that's what we're trying to enlighten people about.
Yeah, pap smears. Pap smears.
Yeah, all sorts of things.
And quite frankly,
okay?
there is no proof that HPV causes cervical cancer. None. Zero.
That's correct. That
it is
correct.
A lie.
But they keep saying it.
And
just like
they keep,
vaccines
well, not
are
only
all,
that, but our New York City legislature, the New York City Council, they passed 2 resolutions, 1 in support of STD vaccines without parental consent. At the time, it was S347 or something, or A347. And they passed a bill supporting that. Why? Why a resolution supporting that? And then another resolution to make January Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, and it was reported in the HuffPost, to drive the uptake of the Gardasil vaccine. Yet there is no proof
right.
that HPV causes cervical cancer.
Well, this is what we're fighting against. That's why, and they keep coming out. As you know, with any advertising, you say something long enough and repeat it that people eventually think it's true. And the whole safe and effective. I don't know if you know, but vaccines back in, I don't know when it was, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg of all people, and another on the Supreme Court in their ruling years
the,
ago.
The only 2 women on the Supreme Court, the only 2. There's,
and they said, yes.
Cortez? No, not Cortez. I can't remember her name, but she's a Hispanic judge.
Yes. And they came out with the ruling that all vaccines, this is what they said, all vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. all vaccines. They said are unavoidably unsafe. That means that any vaccine has harmful effects and can kill you and can hurt you. They came out with that at the Supreme Court, but yet all these vaccine companies, they keep on safe and effective, safe and effective. No, they're not safe and effective. They're unavoidably unsafe. They all have risk. And with Gardasil, that's a huge risk. I would never put that gun to my 12-year-old daughter's head. Never. So.
Well, you know, actually, I want to get technical here. It's unavoidably unsafe for its intended use. Stop everyone and think, what's its intended use? It's unavoidably unsafe for its intended use.
That's right.
I'm sorry, but this is these people.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you want to talk about some of the other bills? Because, A99, I don't know if we discussed that already because you and I have, but I don't know if we discussed it on air.
I think we brought up very briefly, but yeah, tell the people should know that this is a Gestapo type bill. This is horrendous. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that anybody who is a threat to the two vaccines, which would be anybody listening to this program, because if you're listening to this program, unless you're from the government, and I always tell people who are listening, even if they're supposedly against me, I say, don't vaccinate your children. Whoever you are, don't do that. But yeah, people who are outspoken, who threaten the implementation of this, should be quarantined. Yeah, we need to be quarantined. So it's not just children who are unvaccinated. It's anyone who poses a threat. And according to the United Nations, who's a bigger threat than people who are telling the truth about vaccination? Nobody. We're the number one threat.
That's exactly right. How do you do that to people? How do you come up with that threat? What is the threat? I just don't understand it, because here's the thing with vaccines also, what you're talking about. I was fully vaccinated for the measles when I was a child. I got the measles when I was 24 years old. Okay. And you know what happened? I went into quarantine a little bit because I'm using that phrase, you know, I stayed at home for 3 days and then it went away. And I was, you know, my body fought it off, and I was fine. But
people
vaccinated, what are they worried about? If you want to get vaccinated, fantastic. Then why would you be worried about unvaccinated kids? If you're vaccinated, you should be protected, right? Isn't that what the vaccine is for?
Well, they just arrested a man in Samoa for recommending vitamin A and vitamin C in regard to the measles. So he had to be arrested, and they're just going to keep him there until they can find a reason to, until everyone's fully vaccinated, then they don't care if they release him or not. But he's an example, you know, he's being used as an example. Don't object to this outrage. They shut down the roadways. They closed down the government. Everyone's being vaccinated. Do you know what happened in Brooklyn? Do you know what actually transpired in Brooklyn?
No.
When you've got to hear it. Bill de Blasio said, you know, these measles outbreaks, by the way, are false flags. And this can be proven because of the original one in Disneyland. The NIH had hired a group of people, among them one of the people who increases vaccines for the ACIP, Kathleen Harriman. She sits on – she's a member, a voting member for the ACIP. She also is in charge or has a high-level position in the California Health Department. And Harriman is a very famous name in here in New York State and dates all the way back to Nazi Germany, Brown and Harriman. So this is – I don't know that she's related, but it would not surprise me if she were. Also, Letchworth Village was a huge facility for retarded adults, not adults, children and adults, here in New York State in Harriman State Park, where they did a lot of experimenting with the children there. And when they closed the facility, they found jars upon jars of brains. Okay. So that having been said, she was among six others who created a study. It was called a simulation study. And what they basically produced for over $2 million was, and this is what I wanted to tell the legislature in New York State before they voted, but nobody had a chance to speak, so I couldn't. And here's what I would have said. They created a simulation study saying there could be an outbreak of measles in Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, and then the media could cover it night and day. They could blame the non-vaxxers, and then we can remove exemptions. So this was all written prior to the measles outbreak, which they covered round the clock, blame the unvaxxers and unvaccinated, and removed exemptions. So it played out exactly like it was simulated to. So that actually stopped the legislature in Oregon and in Massachusetts from passing the same bill we passed here. Why? Because someone was able to say that to the legislature, unlike here, where the public had no discourse whatsoever, couldn't have cared less what we thought, and there you go.
Well, and can I, on what you're saying, when that outbreak happened in the Jewish community back in the late winter, right, in New York City.
Yeah, recently. Oh, you're talking
recently,
about
recently. We were told.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we were told in the assembly, because I remember this, because I was fighting this, we were told that that's one of the reasons that we have to get rid of the religious exemptions and pass that bill. Well, okay, if that's your reasoning, no children received the measles from that outbreak. No, or what it was measles, wasn't it? It was a chicken pox.
No, it was measles. It was not 2019. It was
measles.
The year of the measles false flag.
Yes, and so no children received it. So then why in the infinite wisdom did we have to vaccinate all children? Okay, so their own argument didn't hold any water, but it wasn't about the argument because they lie on the floor of the Assembly and the Senate every day. It's not about telling the truth. It's about getting their agenda passed. It's about their own pocketbook. It's about doing – it's their own power. It's about changing the dynamic of this country. Believe it or not, that's what it is. And this is what we're dealing with. So they tried to use that narrative. I was shooting it down. But the fact is we didn't have enough people saying this is ridiculous. You don't have a valid reason to do this. You have no valid reason to get rid of religious exemption, except it was an attack by – it definitely was an attack by a few people in there who are against religion in any form, shape, whatever. And that's what we deal with.
Well, I'm anti-poison, you know. Let's say I had no religion. I'm still against poisoning people, you know, and that's the bottom line. We are killing people. We are killing children. And the disgrace of our nation is our infant mortality rate, and our day of birth rate is even worse. So how do you become the 56th country in infant mortality when you are spending more on medicine than anyone, you know? Pharmaceutical products are sold here. Somebody told me the other day, 95% of their market is the United States of America. I'm like, whoa, that is astonishing.
Well, you know, there's a pill for everything. That's what we do, and that's what we do. And it's huge money. I mean, for doctors too. Remember, there's doctors now because of this, not because of the threats that they're getting, the scare tactics that are now on the vaccines. They're also telling families, when families go, you know what, we're not gonna vaccinate. They're telling them, and I met some people at our forum last night who were told by their doctor, he said, you can no longer come to my practice because it's big money to vaccinate, huge money. And if you're a family, four kids, and you don't want to vaccinate, some doctors will tell you, you know what, hey, thanks, but I'm not going to treat your family anymore. Go to another doctor. I mean, this is getting pathetic is what it's getting.
Of their kids have to be fully vaccinated through the age of two, which is why they're throwing them over to the pharmacists after two. This is the big payday for these pediatricians. And a friend of mine who's a journalist interviewed a woman who did not want to go on the record, I'm sure, but nonetheless, what did she say? She's a pediatrician. She said she kills about 10 children a year, and she's been practicing for 10 years. No, what is it? It comes out to, no, three kids a year for 10 years. She's killed 30 children with vaccines. Do you know anybody else who's killed 30 human beings who's not a commando of some sort in the military, you know? So she admitted that. And I have likened pediatricians to poachers. The only difference is they don't stuff the heads and mount them on their walls.
Right. And I didn't know if you wanted to touch on it, if you know about the 1986 ruling with the Congress about the vaccine, about the drug companies and giving them protection.
I just got back from Washington asking a legislator to remove one paragraph within that bill, I've signed 15 petitions with 200,000 to 2 million signatures asking for the 1986 Act to be overturned and of course Congress did it and they can undo it. But nonetheless, this man has it down to one paragraph, Paul Turner of restore liability to the vaccine makers. Just one paragraph, which says that if you cannot sue the drug companies, basically. So that's what I was saying, you know, because with these numbers, 200,000 to 2 million signatures for 15 petitions. That's because the pro-vaxxers want to know there's liability too, because we don't have those numbers 15 times a million, say. We don't have those numbers in the awakened community. It has to be coming from the pro-vaxxers. So both sides of the argument want liability restored.
Yeah, that would be
they
amazing,
won't touch
wouldn't it?
It?
That would be, yeah, you're right.
Well,
they won't
I said,
it.
Okay, you won't. You won't do this. What do you say we erect a – since Congress declared war on American children when they enacted the 1986 lack of liability law, why don't we erect a – this is war on our children, and they are dying – a memorial on the Mall along with the other war memorials to the vaccine, you know, National Memorial to Vaccine Victims. The only thing is, it's their country has declared war directly upon them. But nonetheless, what they did, we should at least honor them, honor their memory.
Well,
we could do that in New York State, honor the
you.
Memory of the fallen. We could have a vaccine victims memorial here.
No, I agree. But that's not going to happen. That's not the mindset. Think of what.
Well, you know what I was told? Do you know what I was told? They didn't say no to that. They said, well, you know what we might do? You could erect a physical tent. They said, how about a virtual memorial? I said, I've done four of them. I know many websites with memorials, but it's not a physical structure. So the chief of staff for the congressman I was meeting with said, well, perhaps we could erect a temporary structure until we can actually get the memorial. And I was like, okay, we'll man it. Yes, let's go. So it's not off the table. How do you like that?
I love it. I love it. Just in New York State, I look at this, and someone asked me last night, and they said, Dave, who's Well, who do we talk to down in Long Island? Who do we talk to in Westchester? Who do we talk to in the Adirondacks? Who are some assembly people or senators I can talk to that are fighting this with you? And I just smiled and I said, I don't know any. That's the scary part. You know, I do it. I have a 12-year-old daughter, and I've talked to hundreds. I get hundreds of emails since I put my bill up from around the country, not just New York State, of people their children or sibling has been compromised by vaccines. And I'll tell you, it's upsetting. I take it personally, and it gets you very, very unsettled when you, time after time, you see these kids who have died. I can't imagine that being my daughter. And I can't imagine someone looking me in the eye and saying she has to be vaccinated, knowing that could kill her. That, to me, is unconscionable. And like I said, that person looked and said, who else? And I didn't have anybody to tell them. And I hope as we get more involved and this goes more viral around the state as it has, that now more people will stick their heads up and say, hey, you know what? I want to fight this too. This is wrong, and we need to restore this, and I want to get involved in the fight. That's what we need, more elected officials to get involved with this fight.
Well, right, and that's why I'm telling people, if your legislator voted to remove exemptions, you must challenge them at the polls. You cannot
That's right.
sit back. We're beyond protesting. I mean, I've been protesting all by myself since 2013, certainly vocal and trying to get legislators to listen to me before that. But when Bloomberg called for a mandated flu shot for the 6 months to 5 years, well, you know, I couldn't sit still for that. That was horrible. And it's to the first year, by the way. Any child who gets a flu shot, whatever your first year of a flu shot, you get to that year.
Well, they
so
still have
months.
The flu shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still have the flu. There's two flu shots. Okay, one, I think, still contains mercury. I mean, that's you don't ever want to put that into your body.
Yeah. Well, thing is, if you were to drink any of these concoctions, if a parent or a doctor were to give any of these concoctions to a child to drink, they would be arrested. But it's okay to inject it into their bloodstreams. So mm-hmm. when I say, you know, this is a crime to even offer it. You know, the injecting of it is the final blow, but to even offer it is a crime. Where do these people get off? Save it effective, as you say.
This lie is
allowed to persist. The lie is allowed to persist because we cannot sue these people and go through discovery where all of this will be, for the record, disclosed. Even though it's on the insert to the vaccine, it's, every October for Vaccine Injury Awareness Month, which I started back in 2010 with all the black ribbons, I don't know if you've noticed, basically I give flyers with information. This year, the year of the measles false flag, I gave them the reactions to the measles vaccine. Wow, it filled the whole page. And what people don't realize, and this is Dr. Vera Scheibner has said this, Dr. Wolfson, these are quotes from them, that when you get vaccines, wild measles, which is not from a vaccine,
correct,
naturally acquired measles, you are protected from cancers, asthma, allergies, reduced Parkinson's, and heart disease. Boy, what a blow that would be for the medical industrial complex.
That's correct. You are so correct, and that's exactly what we're fighting here, too. And that's why a lot of elected officials don't want to stick their head out of the sand right now. They don't want to take on that fight. And I do, and that's just the way I am. But I'm hoping that now that we're getting this information out, that we get more. We finally get some more elected officials say, hey, you know what? We got to work at this. We got to really take this on.
Or just return all the money you got from pharma, you know? We used to call it graft. That's what we called it, you know? And I think we have to bring that back, that word, and call it what it is. Who is the fellow, the Long Island legislator, who took $420,000 and the next thing you know, the meningitis vaccine was mandated? And let me tell you, the New York Times reported that the CDC said this vaccine should not be mandated, okay? And
that's right.
So, and the governor knew that before he signed off on it, because they published it the day after the Senate passed it and before the governor signed off on it. So I remember writing him a letter inviting him and his entire family to the most expensive restaurant in New York for brunch when he vetoes that that bill, knowing that the New York Times reports the CDC says don't mandate it, you know?
That's right.
And it had E. coli. That year, they had E. coli in the meningitis vaccine. What more do we have to tell you people?
And also, can I touch on the homeschool situation?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I've talked with the national, I've talked with the New York State, the regionals, and I had made a statement a couple weeks ago that the exemption might be taken away. And they're like, oh, that's from state education. But if you followed the most recent, I think it was this week or whatever, ACIP, as you know, ACIP came out with a recommendation. The recommendation was for the flu shot and for mandated Gardasil. Okay, so now this, here's what's going to happen or could happen. The state health department, this is going to give all the elected officials duck and cover protection. They'll all say, hey, I had nothing to do with this. This is the state health department. This is the bureaucracy of the state health department. State health department says, we're going to apply those mandates. We are going to uphold those mandates. Every child has to get vaccinated. And this is how they get around. They've been trying to get rid of homeschooling. And this is one way to with the vaccinations. They say, oh, every child has to be. State health will supersede state ed. So what you have with state education is the ability to homeschool your child as a way to get away from vaccinations. You don't have to vaccinate if you homeschool. Well, this will take that whole thing away if state health department says that there's a imminent danger to public health and all kids must be vaccinated according to ACIP. And then all that state education that happened where homeschoolers were protected are no longer protected. So now if you don't want to get vaccinated, this could happen as early as this year, another month. Now, if you don't want to get vaccinated, you will have one choice, and that's to leave the state, because they could mandate it for the entire state. And that's pretty scary that they would do that, but they will do that. It's the people that run that are political hacks, and we never forget that just because they're a state agency.
Well, what I have to offer you is endless interviews with people about flu shots, endless interviews with people about the HPV Gardasil vaccine. I have 1,000
right.
interviews with parents of vaccine-injured kids. And experts galore, you know. I've been doing this for a long time. It's rare that a legislator will speak with me. Representative Posey has, and you have. And you see the similarity there, do you not?
Definitely. So
I
let me know what I can help you with.
Well, we are going to work together, obviously. I'm going to get you all these interviews. And we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about late-term abortions and these sterile girls who would love babies and how to get rid of the red tape that would divide them and get them together and facilitate. Because the whole thing is depopulation. I always tell people, if you don't get that the Gardasil girls are dying, perhaps you'll understand depopulation when I tell you they're sterile. Maybe that, you know,
sure.
What's it going to take for you people to realize they want us dead?
Well, I don't know if that's what their ultimate goal is, but it's definitely capitulation.
Well, how can you not want someone dead when you're injecting formaldehyde? So let's just take formaldehyde, okay? Just number one, cancer-causing formaldehyde. Ta-da! right there. Number one ingredient in vaccines. All the rest of it is
number
garbage,
one.
Too. And bad for you.
Yep.
And they don't do the tests. Of course, they don't do the tests for cancer-causing or mutations or impairment of fertility. They don't do those tests. They probably do, but they don't publish them because then we'd have a legitimate argument to say you're killing us. And it did. What did I tell you? An autistic child said to his mother, he can barely talk. Why do they want to kill me? He gets it. His brain is impaired,
yeah.
But he gets it.
Well, this is the times we're living in. This is a very, very tough time to live here in New York State. And it's and unfortunately, the same
life
cast of characters.
They reduce your life expectancy. Talk to any autistic parent. They'll say, oh, I was told my child isn't expected to live past 35. My sister was severely mentally retarded from a vaccine. She lived till 23, you know? And at the time, we were told to expect till 40. No, 22. I'm sorry. She died at 22. They're telling parents now 35. This is murder. 35 is half 70, you know? So we have to talk about it in terms of survival. We want our children to survive. We want them to survive us. Great grandparents are losing great grandchildren. What the heck's going on?
You are correct. I agree with you. Wow. Well, I hope we get together, after the first of the year, after the holidays,
we will.
And can continue our discussion.
Yes. Well, I would love to see all these two. I would like to undo their plot and see all these children they'd love to see exterminated, survive, and have loving parents among the sterile, vaccine-damaged children who are now adults. I would love that. That would be so beautiful.
Yep, I'm with you. So,
okay, I won't belabor this if there are any other bills you want to bring people's attention to in terms of being a bona fide threat and to get active and to call their legislators and oppose. Please say it now. I have a list myself. But
no, the one that Bill, I'm waiting on a number, and then it'll be live and you'll see it, is I have a bill. I have the religious exemption bill, but I also have a bill. I'm hedging the bet here because I don't know where the Democrats in New York City are going to go. But I have a bill that will allow unvaccinated children pre-K through 12 to attend private and parochial schools. That way, if they say they sit their feet in the sand and say, we're not going to undo this bill no matter what kind of pressure we get. But if we give them enough pressure, this could be the compromise bill where they say, All right, we took away the religious exemption. Well, we'll give it back a little bit, and parochial and private schools can accept unvaxxed children at their own risk, so to speak. It doesn't cure all our ills, but at least it gives parents an option that can't homeschool and can't leave the state. What do they do? Maybe this helps them get their kids into an actual school structure, and they can send their kids to a school. And you know who should be on top of this with us should be Cardinal Dolan and the Catholic faith. For all the Catholic schools that are going under right now, this could be a big boost to them that they would be able to accept these non-vax children and maybe keep their schools open. So I'm hoping that that bill gets some play. If we can't beat this back in the coming weeks and months and get our religious exemptions back, that this could be a compromise. That they might accept and try to help some parents here.
Well, I have to tell you from firsthand experience here, the Catholics and the Protestants, I guess it has to do with their nonprofit status and the huge amount of things they can't do as a result of that, which I will send to you because even I didn't realize how limited they were. And they don't need to be an official nonprofit. They are nonprofit by the nature of what they do. So they don't have to register as a 501c3, but they think they have to, so they do. And the restrictions are off the charts. You have to say it to believe it. I know I was, like, amazed. However, what you can't talk about, what you can't express an opinion about, and it's just really limited. But with the government taking this position, you know, if the government didn't take this position of safe and effective with nothing to back it up, then that could not, you know. But separation of medicine and state, a friend of mine who's a show host says that separation of medicine and state, why, you know, why are they allowing the government to decree what medicines can be given? Why are they interfering in the doctor-patient relationship? You know,
exactly.
So why? Why?
I speak at a lot of churches, and I tell them, I look right at the end, I say, give up your 501c3 status. Forget being tax exempt. Pay your taxes and say whatever you want. Okay, don't go by the government guidelines. Every time you turn around, that's all I hear is, well, you know, we got to be careful what we say. No, don't be careful what you say. And people forget this country was founded in taverns and churches. That's where you went and got and spoke politics and got all your news. And what happened? We morphed
right.
So that we've cut the free speech out of our churches. We've morphed that out to again, as the people against religion of any kind, that's one way they've taken away our religious freedom. Okay? So I tell churches, get rid of your 501c3. Get rid of it. Speak up at the pulpit. Go talk politics. Okay? It's full-term abortion is not right. Call out the people that voted for it. Okay? Don't worry about your status. Pay your taxes. Pay the taxes and then speak from the pulpit. And you know what? You'll gain more people into your church.
Well, if they have captured the churches, there's no question about it, because recently Bobby Kennedy spoke at Riverside Church. And I wrote to Mary Holland, who's a lawyer who works with him, and I said, you're going to a place that it's the only place in all of New York State that I am not allowed to step foot back in. Because they had a huge dinner with speeches by the different, you know, Buddhist and priest and imam and rabbi and ministers. And I approached each and every one who was a, you know, practicing a religious person. And spoke to them about vaccines. And the Buddhist was polite. The imam was interested. The rabbi actually came over and thanked me before he left. But the priests and the ministers gave me glaring, icy stares. And I'm Catholic. Last time I approached a priest, I was kicked out, told never to come back to Riverside Church. So when Bobby went to speak there and they closed the mic on him, I couldn't have been less surprised. I warned him. Nonetheless, last time I spoke to a priest, I mentioned the word, I got to the word vaccines, and he was very polite and interested until I mentioned the word vaccines. Then he took off like a bolt, and I didn't think he doesn't want to talk about vaccines. I thought, I didn't know priests could run that fast. I mean, that's how fast he disappeared in no time. But so I'm amazed that you have an opportunity to speak in religious places at all. I have requested time and again. I have been kept out of every nonprofit organization, religious organization, theater, and church basement. A military. What do you call those outposts? Auxiliaries. Veterans Hall, okay? And
sure.
What I was doing was going across New York State trying to stop the without parental consent bill years ago. We're talking 2009. So I was going with a Gardasil injured girl's mother and an autistic child's mother, And it was called Vaccine Realities, and all they were going to talk about was their child before and after vaccination. That was it. And we were targeting areas where the legislators were supporting this bill. So, you know, we just, if it weren't for Buffalo, where the woman who ran the room was disabled herself, which I found out when I got there. But I was like, wow, Buffalo? Only Buffalo? Okay, we'll take it. But 150 places across New York State of those kinds of places where you'd think you could rent a space would not allow the Vaccine Realities Tour. Just a couple of mothers who wanted to talk turkey.
Right. Well, it's gaining traction now. Okay, I spoke in East Rochester last Thursday, and we had over 600 people. We had over 100 last night, and we had two events. And my counterparts up about an hour away had about 200 people. So we're gaining, and this is like wildfire. And these are, I think now's the time. And I tell people, if not you, who? And if not now, when? Because the time is now.
It is. Truly it is. Or move. I don't know if I told you this. I just got an email saying if you live in New York or in California and you cannot see the handwriting on the wall, you will go down because the handwriting is such that you must leave now. Don't wait like the Germans did who didn't believe that that could happen in their country. Get out.
Well, I'm a fighter, and I tell people that's how dumb
I am.
Well,
I'm a fighter, too.
I'm going to fight, and I'm going to,
well,
you know, I'm sticking around my family here.
Yeah, I know, well, I know. 26,000 families are thinking they have to leave New York State, and that's why I'm saying to all these people who are so money hungry, look what you're doing to the value of your own property. What's the matter with you?
They're predicting with the Gardasil bill, they're predicting if that Gardasil goes through, not just the flu, but if the Gardasil goes through, they're predicting 500,000 people because there's so many parents who just will not give the Gardasil to their children. And that's going to create a firestorm. And I can't wait to see what happens in Albany because I think it's going to get very, if they do try to pass that, it's going to get real ugly in this state real quick.
Well, I am airing shows on public access television right now, severe reactions to the Gardasil vaccine. You know what I mean? I'm a dangerous HPV vaccine. I have all these interviews. I have all these actions that we've taken on the steps of City Hall. We took a monthly action for probably 3 years. And then finally people woke up and started doing something other than what we were doing, you know? We've been very vocal for a very long time, and I've got lots of footage and lots of testimony. So I'm your girl if you're looking for proof.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I appreciate it. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm thrilled that people are allowing you to speak, especially in religious places, you know? Louis Farrakhan was the only person who was speaking out about it. And I interviewed a woman who was Muslim, and she was saying that she has 9 children, all unvaccinated, and that the oldest one was 15 years old. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of kids and all unvaccinated. I said, how did you know 15 years ago that this was a sham? She said, Louis Farrakhan told us. And I said, well, God bless him. He's looking out for his flock.
There you go. There you go.
So he's probably not a nonprofit.
That's
right. Well, hey, wouldn't you love it if priests would do likewise?
Right. So, wow. Well, I appreciate you having me on. This is fantastic. I hope we can continue to make a dent here and start changing some hearts and minds.
Well, they're going to have to admit they're depopulists if they will stand against a sterile woman wanting to adopt a live birth. They will have to admit they're depopulists to go against this plan.
We'll see what happens with that. That's going to be something to watch, I'll tell you, because this is going to turn into a brawl on the floor of the Assembly and in the Senate. So we're going to see. I think I've always said that they've overstepped themselves on this one. They overstepped on the full-term abortion. There was no public outcry for it. Only about 7% of the state was even for it. It was driven by Planned Parenthood, NARAL, and a few of the powerful people in Albany, and they drove that. And this one now, I think, is just as bad, if not worse, because I tell people, don't get between a mama bear and her cub. Do not
That's
go
right.
between parents and their children. You've opened up a can of worms, and you're not going to win it. And I hope that's what happens here. I'm seeing it around the state as I go around there, and I'm watching it, and I'm seeing these parents. They're fed up, and I hope this turns into, like I said, this is spreading like wildfire. I hope it continues, and I hope we have enough to effectuate. Again, it's not up here. It's New York City. We need to effectuate those 82 Democrats in the city that are all for this, and the money is following the trail there, and I hope we can get enough people to make something happen.
Well, here's my hidden tool to awaken everyone. Are you ready? You know how vain people are? They care about their waistlines. Vaccines, it is scientifically proven, make you fat. Okay, chew on.
Okay. No, I love that.
Take
That's
care.
Fun. That's a good one.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You have a fan in
okay.
me and I'm eager to get things rolling in the right direction. So thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you. Take care.
God bless you, David Pietro. Cheerio.
Bye-bye.